Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is the last verse from the Gospel reading. Jesus, teaching the Jews, said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is our text. On April 18, 1521, Martin Luther stood before a representative of Emperor Charles V at the Diet of Worms. After a second day in a row, he was asked point blank if he would recant his writings. He refused. He refused and said, "I'm bound by the scriptures I've quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I will not retract anything. I cannot do otherwise. Here I stand, so help me God. Amen." Luther was deeply convinced, so am I, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. This is what the scriptures teach. From the beginning, this is what the church has believed. And so Luther does as well, and he says that he is bound and captive. Bound by scripture and captive to the word of God. 1,500 years before that, Jesus exhorted the Jews who believed in him to stick to his word. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." What Jesus wanted for them, what he wants for us, his people, is clear. He wants us to know the truth, and so to be free. Of course, when we hear those two words, truth and freedom, your mind, like mine, probably says there are a lot of different ideas that people have. Truth and freedom are disputed words, and people mean different things by them. Just what is truth? What is freedom? That word truth, in our day and age, it seems like it's used more often to describe someone's own personal ideas than it is anything else. My truth, people will say, as if truth is merely a subjective, internal thing. As if truth could be different for different people. You have your truth, and I have my truth. But that's not the way Jesus speaks. He speaks of the truth. The truth as an objective reality. Outside of you and me, but objective in God and the world that he made. So truth here doesn't depend on our thoughts or our feelings. Our thoughts and our feelings can either be in accord with the truth, or they can be at odds with the truth, but they cannot shape, reshape, or change the truth. And then there's that word freedom. We tend to think of freedom as being able to do whatever we want to do. That is, freedom is to be unconstrained and unlimited. Freedom would be to go to the swimming pool and have no rules posted and just do whatever you want. That's the way that we think. But is doing whatever we want actually freedom? What if we want the wrong things? And if everyone could actually do whatever they wanted, would that be maximum freedom? Wouldn't it be chaos, murder, and mayhem? So real freedom, in the way that Jesus describes, is a freedom that has and requires limits, boundaries, guidelines, you might say grooves in which to run. To be what we were made to be is freedom. To be something else is not. Now, Jesus makes clear here that truth and freedom aren't natural to us. And I think this is an important point for us to remember. We aren't born with the truth. We aren't born free, at least not in the way Jesus is speaking of it. He tells his disciples, in fact, that we are born captive and we are born not knowing the truth, but he also tells us where to find these things. In his word, we are to abide in his word. Truth and freedom come from dwelling with Jesus in his word. This is one of the reasons that the Reformation, and in our church as well, we continually go back to the word and encourage being in the word and speak of the importance of God's word. Now, the original disciples had the word of God there in the living mouth of Jesus. We have the living voice of Jesus today in the Holy Scriptures. Each word of the Bible, we believe, has been breathed out by God, the Holy Spirit, through the prophets and apostles, so that we can know the truth, and the truth can set us free. God's word does provide a deep clarity, and I think it's a clarity that the world needs so much, and a clarity that we often forget. God's word is clear about where everything came from. God's word is clear about who we are, both as sinners and as those for whom Christ shed his blood. God's word is clear about why we're here. And God's word is clear about where we're going. We can't fully know ourselves, and we cannot fully know the world that we live in apart from this revelation of God, Holy Scripture. We can't truly be free by ourselves. There's no freedom apart from Jesus. There's no freedom apart from Jesus. That's what Jesus says, and the Jews in his day weren't buying it. They couldn't quite make sense of it. They got hung up on the whole freedom thing because they were sure that they could have truth and they could have freedom apart from Jesus because they thought they already had it. You heard what they said. We're offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? I always wonder what exactly they were thinking when they said we've never been enslaved to anyone, since the primary narrative story of the Old Testament is the story of their enslavement and being set free. But we'll leave that to the side. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say we will become free? Do we feel the same way? Jesus, you're great and all that, but we're good with the truth and we're already free. Do we think that we don't need what he's offering? Well, Jesus speaks more clearly. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Jesus says that sin doesn't proceed from truth and freedom. Truth and freedom, in reality, will never be part of sin, but rather sin enslaves, and all sin enslaves. I've heard it said this way. I've heard it said that we're all born as sin addicts, which I think can be a helpful way of thinking about things. We all have a natural addiction, not just to this substance or that thing, but we have a natural addiction to sin. We can't help ourselves. We keep going back to it. It's in our DNA. It's in our bloodstream. It's wired into our synapses. That sin addiction is so deep that often the first truth is that we deny it. And that's exactly what these Jews did. They're enslaved to sin, that's bad enough, and they're in denial about it as well. Who? Me? Why, I can stop any time. Sure you can. It's not that big a deal. I'm sure it's not. But that can't be sin. It feels right. It's who I am. Everyone's doing it. The world says it's fine. well, then I guess you're just okay. But that's not what Jesus says. He says that everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. Now, we can think of that in a couple of ways. In one sense, practicing sin is kind of intentionally doing it over and over and over again. The way you shoot free throws to learn how to make a basket. But on the other hand, we could say that practicing sin is simply doing sin. The question before you and me today is this: where does that sin addiction manifest in your life and in mine? What are the things that we keep going back to? Either things that we say, or things that we do, or things that we think. What is it that actually enslaves us? Because you know it already, and I know it as well. Our sin is not freedom. It is not helping us. It is not giving us the truth. It enslaves us. Where do we see that at work in our own lives? Where do we see that at work at this time in our world? Luther, of course, experienced that same sense of slavery to sin. This is what drove the Reformation, in fact, was his recognition about how deeply sin was ingrained in him. Luther tried to escape it. He tried to find freedom. He tried to get away from it. He tried all sorts of things. He tried going to the monastery and making his vows. He found a problem. When he got to the monastery, his sin came with him. He tried penance, doing all sorts of works to make up for his sin and to correct it and to strengthen himself, and yet it was never enough. He tried sleeping on the cold, hard floor of the monastery. He tried beating himself and whipping himself, and still sin wouldn't go away. He saw his own people enslaved, and he saw the lies that they were given. Lies that they could buy freedom from sin. A coin in the coffer rings and a soul from purgatory springs, free of sin. Oh, he knew what the malady was. He knew his own problem, and it nearly drove him mad. It nearly drove him mad until he abided in the word of Jesus. And when he abided in the word, when he read the scriptures, when he heard what they said, he saw the truth. The law of God condemns, but now, St. Paul says, the righteousness of God has been revealed from heaven. The righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. You see, Luther came to know that truth, and that truth is what set him free. Set him free not only from the lies and false teachings of his day, but set him free from the bondage to sin. The slave can never free himself, not when the enslavement goes all the way down to the soul. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the glorious good news of the gospel. The gospel that Luther heard ringing through the scriptures, and the gospel that we believe the Reformation has had ringing down through the centuries still. If the Son sets you free. But why would he do that? And how in the world would the Son do that? Because he loves the truth, and he loves freedom, and he loves you. You see, love is what drove our Lord to say what he said and to do what he did. He is the Son. He is the one who remains in the house forever. He is the one who is perfectly and completely free, including free of sin. And he didn't have to do it. That's the amazing thing. You know, we find ourselves having to do things, to do this or to do that, but Jesus didn't have to do this. He chose to. Though he was in the form of God, he didn't count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He humbled himself He used his freedom not to do whatever he wanted, but rather, as we hear him pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done." He used his freedom to set aside his rights as a son and to take on the form of a servant, even a slave. He made himself nothing so that he could make you something. He became a slave. Not a slave to sin, not a slave of sinners, but a slave to the judgment that we deserved. Jesus came not to do whatever we wanted him to do, and not to do whatever he wanted, but to do and receive what we deserve. He became that propitiation, that thing that absorbed the wrath of God against sin for us. And this is what he wanted. He wanted you. He wanted you to know the truth. He wanted you to be free. He wanted you with your sin so that he could have you without your sin, free forever. And that's why Jesus did what he did. And that's why the scriptures teach what they teach. And that's why Luther took the stand that he took, because he knew the truth and he loved the freedom. And he wanted you to know it as well. Of course, Jesus laying down his life on the cross was not the end of the story. We know how it ends. God has highly exalted him, raised him from the dead, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Your tongue has confessed it today. You have already said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And we will bend our knee in a moment as well before our Lord to receive not his punishment, not his law, but his freedom, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This is the truth. This is the freedom that we have, the freedom of former slaves, the freedom of those redeemed by the Son, the freedom of those who have the Holy Spirit's help in saying no to sin and renouncing not God's word, but the addiction we were born with. The freedom of people who are so closely bound to Christ Jesus that our sin became his and his righteousness became ours. Today we gather. We gather here as those who know the truth and are free, and yet at the same time as those who are bound and captive. We are bound by Scripture. We are captive to the Word of God, for we know that there we have true freedom, and we have the truth that sets us free. The final thing to consider today, then, is this. If we are set free from sin, what are we set free for? Remember how Jesus used his freedom, not in order to serve himself, but to serve us. You also, dear Christian, you have been set free, not in order to go back to serving yourself, but so that you can freely serve your neighbor in love. Pick up your head as Christ raises you from your sins and look around at those who have needs next to you and beside you and in front of you and behind you. Live in the freedom that he gives, in the truth that he is, in the promises that are yours in Christ Jesus. For because the Son has set you free, you are and will be free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.